she's seen it all from her own employees and her own career. And her advice always was, don't run away from something, but run towards something. And that's exactly that all came about in this. And I think this opportunity was exactly that. I'm not running from anything. I'm sad to leave, but an opportunity came and I'm going for it.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. I'm Leah Alter.
And I'm Joanna Arisman.
And this is Women Share, a celebration of women in financial services.
Yes. And today's guest is Nina Smith, a growth and business development leader in the wealth management space, who's also backed by a successful background in the advertising agency side of the business. And Nina is joining us today at an exciting time in her career as she's transitioning from a 7-year tenure at Kendall Capital, a DC-based wealth management firm, to a new role at a much larger enterprise, UBS. So we're very interested to hear more about that in today's episode. Beyond her work life, Nina is an active leader in her community in Montgomery County, Maryland, supporting small businesses and youth. And Nina, we are so thrilled to have you here on Women Share to share your story. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be on the show, and it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
You, too. And we want to take a moment and thank this episode's Pay It Forward sponsor, Gregory FCA. Through the Pay It Forward sponsorship, past Women Share guests can support another woman's story in a future episode. So we want to thank Carrie Davis and the Gregory FCA team for sponsoring this episode of Women Share. With over 20 years of dedicated support to financial services industry, they're passionate about helping clients grow their businesses through strategic, integrated communications and marketing programs. You can learn more about them at gregoryfca.com. And Nina, we are just so excited to get into it with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. As Joanna mentioned in your intro, you're in the midst of a really cool transition into this new role at UBS. And you shared with us that you're choosing this change, even though things were really good in your prior role. So what really inspired you to start this new adventure?
It's a great question. Also, thank you to the sponsor. I appreciate you supporting this. Things weren't just good. They were great. People, when I told about the leaving the job, were like, but you love your job. And I'm like, and I still do. But back in January, a recruiter reached out to me. They found me on LinkedIn and they told me the firm UBS. And I went, I was interested enough to talk. And I had 3 rounds of virtual interviews. It was great, a great fit, a great next step. And right before the next round, I just withdrew from consideration, actually. I'd say scared. Why leave a good thing? I didn't want to spin anyone's wheels on the other end. They're a busy team and I just wanted to be respectful. So I did. That was that. And then about five, six weeks later, I was regretting it. I hadn't even met anyone in person. They were all virtual. And I was just wanted to revisit it. And so I did. I reached out to the recruiter and she was surprised to hear from me, but happy. And I said, would they be willing to talk to me again? And she says, I will check. I think they're going to be surprised, but probably happy to hear from you. Within a few days, I was in downtown DC meeting in person with 3 of the team members. I felt so happy that I went back to them and that they were willing to meet. And it was great. And we kind of just went from there. And, you know, with a bigger company, it's definitely a process. But within a couple of weeks, there was an offer. A week later, I think it was my future soon-to-be boss and his wife went to dinner with me and my girlfriend, Melanie, my partner, in DC, and that really sealed the deal. He's wonderful. His wife was. We had the best night. So, that's how it happened. Things are good. My last day was yesterday, and it's definitely bittersweet, but I'm going for it.
And I think that's what really stood out to us when we had our first exchanges with you and just learned about your story and your background. And there's something to this theme of women trusting their gut on some of these opportunities and having the courage. Like, it kind of feels like a audacious thing to be like, I'm super happy and this is actually a great time to explore new opportunities, right? Which that stuck out for me because I think in my past, I've waited until things are to the point of being unhappy and you just come at it from such a different posture. And I didn't even know you went back. You had withdrawn. So that's a cool twist.
I had. Yes. And the other thing was, at the time that they reached out, a couple other big companies did, and which was really flattering and felt good. But at the same time, I thought, okay, well, this is great to know in a few years when I might be more ready. Well, things will be there. And that's what also made me kind of withdraw. I'm like, I can take a pause on this and there's always going to be opportunities. And then I was like, no, this one was meant for me. So.
Well, I think it's also just a great lesson for us all in that we can trust that process and we don't have to double guess ourselves or question whether something feels right. And then when something changes and we get a different, you know, kind of a different
read
bit of information where we're like, wait a second, we can trust that too.
Yeah.
And I think it's, we talked about this recently on an episode, but where that starts to build the trust with like between you and your kind of gut instinct or whatever you want to name that. But it really starts to build that relationship and that trust to be like, I can not, you know, have to beat myself up over this decision because I just know it's the right decision for now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, and I want to go, there was another thing that caught our eye when we were looking at your profile is you had shared, you know, in past roles, you've got a track record of like really healthy departures from the organizations that you've worked for, which again, that sometimes can be the case, but isn't often. And so I think we can learn a lot from how you've navigated those. And would you share what's worked for you and having supportive separations from firms that you've worked for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was thinking back to my career. I'm 43 now. So I graduated college almost, 21 years ago. Yeah, 2004. Wow. So I started my career in New York City. And so I did switch from agency to agency. But I know at that time, I don't know if it is now since it's been so long ago, but you kind of jump around to build that, grow out of entry level roles and build your experience. So I think then people kind of expect you to do 2 or 3 years yeah. and then move on. And then I left the New York market to come back to the Maryland area. So that's why I left. But when I left Capital One, I'd say that was the one that was a bigger departure. It's a great company, a great role. I could have stayed there for a long time, but I left for personal reasons. My kids wanted to at the time. My then husband was working and pursuing his PhD, and I really just had too much on my plate to focus and give a company like that the attention it deserved. That, you know, they're a huge, big company, and my boss was wonderful, but I was not living up to expectations, I think. So she was very understanding. And that was in 2015. And 10 years later, she was just a reference for me for this new gig. And she told me she gave me a glowing review. So I believe that. And it just also, I realized that 4 of my references, I asked for 4, were all women that I've worked with in the past. And even a female client of my current client. But it just is a nice reminder of how keeping those relationships, I do think, especially with women in the workplace and having that network, it just helps you. You never know when it's going to help. So to not burn bridges, you just never know. After stepping away from Capital One, my circumstances shifted. I needed to return to work quickly. That could be a talk for another type of podcast, but I found a great opportunity with a small local marketing agency. It gave me the flexibility I needed at home, but also got my career back on track. I was only out of work for 8 months, so it was kind of easy to jump back in. And when I eventually moved on from that, my boss was surprised and definitely sad to see me go, but we've stayed in touch. My new company, the one I just left, hired her for marketing work. So it kind of was like a nice full circle moment. And then just most recently, I mean, yesterday was my last day. One of the things that stuck out, a guy on the investment team, he came up to me when he heard the news and just said, you created a marketing legacy here. And he said, we're really going to miss you. And he said, I was most glad to hear you're not going after the same clientele because I know you'd snatch all those clients because it is a different audience we're going after. So
yeah,
I don't know. I love building relationships and you can build relationships, but to maintain them is the hardest part. And that's not only in work, but even your personal life, making friends, but keeping them. And especially when life gets busy. So I think the same with work, just be keeping on good terms with people and being, I've all these people too, I've helped over the years. And whether it be giving someone, you know, not giving someone business, but, you know, working with them still or things like that. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to have a healthy breakup.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like too, that you have, you know, the experience you have both in the financial services industry and building your business there, along with the marketing and agency stuff that you have, has like really served you well in doing in both building the business and building the relationships, which to your point, kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I always say this job was like the culmination of my past experiences. When I worked in the ad agency, I worked for high profile clients like GE and Sony Pictures. And I actually had like some pretty, even early on, had some great client interaction with the clients. And these were like CMOs of General Electric Appliances. And I was like 25 years old, but not only working with the clients, the vendors, the creative agency, the salespeople of the media were buying. And then I got to take that to this job. It's much different. I always say getting someone to buy, I worked on Hershey's, getting someone to buy a Hershey bar, Twizzlers or Payday, they're all Hershey brands, is much different than having someone trust you with $2 million.
Yeah.
Or they're tight, you know, but
they're life savings. So yes.
They're life savings. So anyway, yeah.
Did you ever let employers know when you were getting to the point, like, I'm starting to look, like, I feel like it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. You don't, like, you want to have a really good transition, especially if you've been there a long time and you know there's planning that needs to be done, but you also don't want to be perceived as like being checked out or, you know, not giving your all. Nina, you first, and then Leah, I also want to hear if you kind of did a early shot across the bow to a trusted boss or something like that.
No. Okay. Especially in this role, I think the only thing is that in reviews, and we have a performance review every 6 months, I did express that. I even asked my boss at one point, did I hit my ceiling here? We're a small company. We have grown already. We've tried so many marketing things. Did I hit my ceiling? And the answer wasn't yes. I think the answer was it enabled him and encouraged him to give me more autonomy even, you know, like I was, we had done TV commercials with my boss and another CFP that were actually in the commercial. And I said, well, I want to be in one. I was in one. So it was more, I didn't say I was looking because I wasn't. It was more, what can I do to stay here and just grow more and do different things? But I never said, it wasn't a, if I don't, I'm going to leave. It just, that was the only kind of alluding to, should I be here? But no, I never led on to looking. And I wasn't looking. Like I said, I wasn't even looking.
Yeah.
So I did.
Yeah. How about you, Leah?
Well, so I remember distinctly we had a department meeting. I was on a marketing team at a financial services company. We were at a big kind of team planning meeting, and I point blank said to my boss, what is the plan for advisor marketing? Because that's what I was in charge of. And she looked right at me and said, there's no plan. And that for me was like, I knew at that point that I'd done all that I could do for the organization I was at, because I needed buy-in from executive leadership and financial investment in the programs to be able to go further than I'd gone, and I wasn't going to get it. And that was like a big pivoting point. So I think that was like probably a good indicator to the team that the end was near. But it was still a bit of a shock, I think, when I did, you know, I had been there for 11 years. So I think a lot of people thought I was going to be a lifer, which we kind of joked about at the organization for people who stay a long time. And I would have been had they made that investment. I loved the work that I was doing. So But I definitely was strategic about where I went. I didn't go to a competitor when I left. And yeah. to your point, yeah. Nina, that helps keep that bridge intact. You know, I still have wonderful relationships with everyone at the organization because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is such a small industry, interconnected, you know, like yeah. you never know, right? It where other people are going to end up or how you're going to cross paths. I ascribe to that same approach of just like, let's be supportive. Let's leave things better than we found them and, you know, but still do what we need to do for ourselves. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's hard to take the personal side of the work we do out. But a lot of times it serves us better when we can separate. Like, it's not that they weren't investing in Leah, in me, yeah. right? Yeah. It just that what the work I was doing wasn't a priority for the organization. It took me a long time to not take that personally.
Yeah.
And as a reflection of me or the work I was doing, which it was not.
Right.
So on that kind of same note, you, Nina, built the Women and Wealth Client Development Program while you were at Kendall Capital, which sounds like a really fantastic program. How did you go about building that program and then getting the support from the rest of the firm's leadership?
Yeah, we started a few years ago, really in the post-COVID period where people were craving in-person events again. Mm. So it was like good timing. We hadn't really just at first we started with hosting some social things with guest speakers, like happy hours. We did one downstairs in the really nice restaurant in our building. We actually did one here at the Lavender Farm that I mentioned.
You're at a Lavender Farm today.
You have to tell us
I'm at a Lavender
that.
Farm. Yes. I will real quick. So I'm at Carice Lavender. It's K-H-A-R-I-S Lavender. They are not a sponsor, but I'm not their PR person. People always think I am, but it is a beautiful lavender farm in Laytonville, Maryland. A dear friend of mine owns it, but she built this. Her and her husband built, along with the farm, a beautiful barn that event space that holds workshops and work events, small showers and bridal showers, anything really, company retreats. But upstairs, there's this loft area it's like a living room and office. And my dear friend Claudia said, you can use this office anytime. And so that's where I am. And it smells good. And she is downstairs making hand soap. And I'm up here. And it's just an amazing place.
You're up here on a podcast.
Yes, I'm up here on a podcast at the Lavender Farm.
That's so good.
We did host the event here. Actually, yeah. I hosted a Women in Wealth event. I'm on a board of an organization called the Montgomery County Small Business Association. We did a huge event here last August. It was like 70 people. Anyway, back to Women in Wealth. And then after like the social things with a speaker and a topic, we started doing, we did some pickleball events it's awesome. If for anyone out there listening, if you haven't played, you should. It's very fun. It's social, it's healthy, it's active, it's accessible, it's easy to learn. But it was nice because it became very turnkey. So instead of doing the speakers and themes and things like that, which are great, We did. It was much easier to execute. And then you had people that were coming over and over, bring a friend, hopefully a prospect, you know, someone that might. We had a couple like prospect meetings out of it, but it was for our clients and the team. So it was easy. There's all these indoor places now. This one's called Del Dinkers, but we book like 3 to 4 courts. So you'd have like 16, 20 people, an instructor for the first hour. And which is really nice. I suggest if you're doing something like that to do that because a lot of people haven't played or they've played but haven't actually learned the rules. And it is kind of important. So you have an instructor for the first hour, but other courts. It just was a success, a hit. We actually just got branded pickleball paddles. I won't be able to use them. So that's kind of sad. But in terms of support, my boss always was, he empowered us, and especially me as the marketing person. In my 7 years, we tried a lot of things from the basic events and webinars and newsletters that I think every firm does. But we then evolved and did different things, did this Women in Wealth. We did the TV commercials. And so if something wasn't successful, we learned and moved on. But we didn't necessarily think it was a failure. But the Women in Wealth were successful. And I know that the team is, my current team is going to continue doing them. The person who's going to take over for me was, I saw her like making like an invite for like a spring fling kind of thing. So I think also, and I always said that some of the husbands would say, well, isn't there going to be a golf thing, or can we come to the pickleball? And I'd say, yeah. And then I actually like proposed it and invited some of the husbands or male clients, and like, no, thanks. So I just kept with it with the women. So.
Well, and so it was more about community building than like deeper financial education.
Yes.
Going on. Okay.
Yeah. Instead of like making it a topic or things like that. And I think you can do it both ways. There's value to having the speakers and all that. But this was more community engagement. Have fun. It's healthy. We called it Women and Wealth. And that would be like health. Very simple, not expensive. And also, I think one thing my boss would say in terms of support is it was never a quota. There was never a mandate. If you do this event, you better come back with 6 emails of prospects. The team was never built like that. So it was very, although it's great to get a prospect, when you don't have that pressure of it, it's more kind of light and fun.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that translates to the people attending, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not salesy. We give them a bag of our swag and these books that we have that are awesome, but it's not, it's not salesy. I don't think
it's a good brand experience. And
yes.
Leave it there. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then I want to pivot a little bit away from the work side of things or, you know, specific kind of marketing tactics, but you also talked about the balance between co-parenting and your career. So I would love to hear your perspective of what have you learned as a mother and a businesswoman over the years?
Yeah, learned a lot on this topic, probably too much to cover today. But honestly, the biggest thing is that my first job is being a mom. Everything else, including being a businesswoman, comes after that. Like I mentioned, my kids were 1 and 2 when I was at Capital One. They're 10 and 11 now. They're about to be in 5th and 7th grade. So it's all still a balance, even more so. And they've definitely noticed over the past few years, especially my daughter, probably she's younger, how my work responsibilities have grown. And more late night meetings and travel and events, and just my head is more focused on it. And now I've thrown them for a bit of a curveball by saying there's, you know, going to be even more of that now with a more challenging job probably. And from their perspective, it probably seems like a loss in some ways, but I try to help them see the upside as well as me, because I want them to see me as a role model and someone who isn't just going to be complacent and take on new challenges. And to be honest, my son is 11 and a half, almost 12, and he's at that point where he doesn't even want me around anyway. So it's a blessing in disguise for him. But again, they're still kids and they need me. I've been lucky to work for employers who respect and support the family first mentality. And I know my soon to be team well as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. I work really hard and I'm pretty much always accessible. My daughter be like, why are you on your phone? I'm like, well, it's work. And I try not to be that, but
it's work. Yeah.
It's exactly. Why are you? I'm like, she's like, no, I see. It's not. I'm like, it really is. and I can't wait to get going on the new role. But my mental checklist, like all working moms or moms, is toggling between work and carpools and what tournament is this weekend. And they're in the thick of it. They're, you know, just getting to that sweet spot of being really busy. But honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I've done a lot of balancing with my kids. And so I think I like to tell myself that I've got this, but we'll see.
Well, and you've already shown though that you, you know, follow your intuition and you'll know if there's a course correction needed. Right. And trust it.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. I saw a friend last night actually at the batting cages with my daughter who wants to try softball out. And she was there with her son and she works at the elementary school that my kids go to, or my daughter does. And she's amazing. And I told her about the new job and how I'm going to have to go into DC some days. So I said, you know, if Allie's stranded at school in DC stranded at school and you have to drive her home, you'll know why. Just give me a call. But no, it's going to be fine. I've managed the work life for a long time and I've got a village and
exactly. I was going to say, you know, for the first question that we asked you, you know, you talked about your community and the support system you have cultivated, and whether that's through business or your personal life, they're equally as important.
Absolutely.
So I guess on that same vein, Nina, we ask everybody who comes on the show, what is the best career advice that you've ever received?
Okay. So I've gotten a lot, obviously. My girlfriend, who I mentioned, her name's Melanie. She's the chief of HR for a big Fortune 500 company. So between like having an HR expert as your professional and personal sounding board is a nice perk.
Yeah.
We can also, we also share clothes, which is a nice perk too. But she's seen it all from her own employees and her own career. And her advice always was, don't run away. And I think we touched on this before, but don't run away from something, but run towards something. In that sense of, I think we mentioned before, like, don't wait till you're miserable and having to run to something. And that's exactly that all came about in this. And I think this opportunity was exactly that. I'm not running from anything. I'm sad to leave, but an opportunity came and I'm going for it. And she also always says, like, the grass isn't always greener. And I know that going into this, it is not going to be perfect because no job is, but I'm going into it with like eyes wide open. And I'd say the other thing, and this is important too, my mom was a great role model. She worked her butt off. She got her PhD. She had some really high profile gigs. And then my sisters, one works at University of Maryland, but she also got her career coaching certificate. And my older sister is a CEO of a company. And so, but between all these women and career focused women in my life,
they definitely guide
me in the right direction. Even actually, it's funny, when I told them about this possibility of this job, they were like, you're crazy. Why would you complicate your life more? Maybe not yet. Like, but then they got on board and I kind of had to explain it to them a little more, and they're totally supportive now. But it's like more reason, like I hope it's successful because I need to prove them wrong that I wasn't crazy. I've had great role models, female and not female, of people in my life that can guide me in the right direction and tell me when I'm crazy, even though I didn't listen to them. But
well, it sounds like it's quite the like power circle of women around you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Cool. Yes.
That's really cool.
Awesome.
So outside of the career things we've celebrated today, this podcast is about celebrating women in the industry in general. So what else can Leah and I join you in celebrating right now?
Well, right now, I would say it was Mother's Day the other day. So we should, I had a great Mother's Day. I think it was one of my favorite Mother's Days as my kids are getting older and acknowledge, you know, appreciate everything more. So I'd say let's all celebrate, whether you're a working mom, a stay-at-home mom, a soon-to-be mom, a dog mom, I don't know, just celebrate. It's hard. It's, or just a woman in general. It's hard, you know, it's hard to balance it all. So celebrate that. And then I know this air for like 2 months. So what I'm hoping when this airs is that we should celebrate success in my new gig. That's it. So kind of a forward thinking.
Send that good energy. Yes. To the future, Nina. Yes.
You'll have to keep us posted on how it's going. And
I absolutely will.
And all of that. We love to keep up with everybody. This has just been such a great conversation. Nina, thank you for being here and sharing your story. We're just all so excited for what's on the horizon for you. And I know probably a lot of people listening want to connect with you. So what is the best way that they can do that?
Yeah, I don't have my new work email yet. I will in a week, but you can email me directly at nina8123@gmail.com or on LinkedIn, Nina Smith. I think it might be Nina Smith 23, my profile name, but.
And we'll link those in the show notes.
Yes,
so people
do.
Can find you.
We'd love to connect. Feel free. Anyone reach out to me.
Yeah.
And
anyone.
Joanna and Leah, thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for being here. And thanks for sharing the sage advice on just like being proactive of your career transition. Right. And, moving when you're in a place of positive energy. That was it's inspiring. So thank you.
Definitely.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And that's our show for today. So if ours is a mission that you want to share in, we ask that you subscribe to Women Share on your favorite platform. With that, I'm Joanna Arisman.
And I'm Leah Alter. And another big thank you to our Pay It Forward sponsor, Gregory FCA. We will catch you on the next episode of Women Share.